Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 2nd of February, recording at 9:48 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, a quick look at the highlights here today. In Asia, very quiet because most of the stock markets, including China, are closed for the Chinese New Year. Now, among those that were open, we had a good gains from Japan, up 1.78% for the Nikkei, and that was just topped by the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, which will be closed following today for a week, but that was up 1.81% or some 426 points. And also a good solid performance by Australia, up just under 1%. European stock markets were mixed, quiet on the day for the most part. Stockholm underperforming here once again, Sweden. And in the Americas, the slight eyebrow raiser for me, and the biggest surprise, is the retracement of most of Brazil's gains that we saw yesterday. It was down 1.71%. Wall Street closed, well, the Dow was up a fraction, the NASDAQ down a fraction, the S&P down 0.27%, so a little pause here. In long-dated government bonds, prices have eased, and the U.S. dollar steadied for a change, but only slightly. I'm just looking for some of those cross rates. The euro, for instance, is at 138.12. It's just down a fraction. So not a great deal to talk about. Precious metals, wee bit choppy, but mostly in narrow ranges. Platinum's come out best today, but it's only a modest gain following yesterday's strength. The others are down slightly. And lumber a little weaker. Copper pretty steady overall. Had a wee bit of a shakeout, but then rallied right back up. So industrial metals steady generally once again. Grain and bean complex, so wheat, just surged on some of the weather news, the additional weather news, and the whole complex was steady. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, I think the stories that are dominating the news are going to continue to do so for a while. Commodity price inflation is an important factor here, and it is now very much on government and regulators' radar, and it is on politicians' radar because of the food price increases, and that has led to complaints, to put it mildly, from Asia and the subcontinent to Egypt more recently. And my goodness, well, we're even grumbling within the Fuller household. So food price inflation is going to get worse, in my opinion, before it gets better. And La Nina, which has a lot to answer for, is still running riot, as you can see with that horrific storm in the Queensland area of Australia, and also the big storm that has hit the Great Plains section, and well, it's hit pretty much the entire United States, from what I read and see on the weather satellites. Now, my hunch is that, staying with commodities here for a minute, my hunch is that this will remain a bit of a headwind for stock markets. Precious metals are probably going to benefit from the softening of the US dollar and what I think is close to the completion, if we haven't already seen the completion of their downward consolidation and mean reversion process. So we've got a bit of a window here in terms of favorable seasonal factors, which I think could produce some additional gains in precious metals. I'm participating, as you know, as of having come in yesterday, but I'm not in heavily, although I've got a stake in each of the precious metals, and I'm not going to come in heavily at these levels, because although I think that the bull run, the cyclical bull, my feeling is that the secular bull market in the precious metals has further to go, almost certainly. But I can't like gold as much at 1,335 dollars, where it is today, as I did down at 250 to 350 dollars, or even a few years ago. And I can't like silver as much up here at 28.32 as I did when I was buying it in $4 to $5, or also even just a few years ago. Platinum is probably the best of the lot, but it's not going to go up on its own. They're all going to go somewhat higher before we get into the less attractive seasonal period for a while. Or not, but my bet is to the upside here in the short to medium term, covering the next couple of months at least. Now, in terms of currencies, I mentioned the soft dollar overall. If that U.S. dollar index were to go below 75, it would I think raise a few eyebrows. That was the last reaction low was just above 75, and it's at 77 here, 77 and a bit right now. And I think, you know, we've had the euro crisis, we've had the sterling crisis. I think this is past the parcel here among the low interest rate indebted currency regions, and so don't be surprised if we see some wobbles with the U.S. dollar as the year as the year progresses. One of the most interesting areas for me, I think, right now in terms of my analysis is the long-dated government bonds. I mean, I really do feel we're edging closer and closer to an additional break upwards in yields, downwards in the bond futures prices. I thought that might actually be happening today, but it's not to be. We saw the U.S. 30-year bond futures test the lower side of their range once again, and they've been ranging now for at least a couple of months, but it's steadied slightly, still down on the day, where the 30-year bond is currently trading at 119.20 and 23.30 seconds. That's down 7.30 seconds here today. It was down a little lower, as low as 19.08. And I increased my position a little bit here today, my short position. My preferred strategy for this is a sell high, buy low, baby steps, range trading tactic that I've been using for a number of months with the treasury bonds, but I preempted what I thought might be a downward break, but it could occur any day. I think there's limited upside in those treasury bond futures. Now, what else to mention? I believe I've covered the grain and bean complex. I expect higher prices. It's as simple as that. I think the industrial commodities will also remain firm. Crude oil's the big one. We saw crude NYMEX back up to 91.78, having bounced off 90, and it's currently just under 91. But the bigger story is the Brent, which I think is more in line with global prices for crude oil. And Brent is up at $100 and 37 cents, as when I last looked a few minutes ago. So oil is very close to becoming somewhat of a concern for economists and analysts and investors, except in the energy sector. And I favor being overweight in the energy sector, and I am overweight in the energy sector entirely through one of my bigger stakes, which is in Royal Dutch Shell, and which I bought when the share was depressed by the BP rig blow up in the Gulf of Mexico, and the whole sector was down. And the rest of it is in my uranium share holdings. Now, so I think energy will remain a resilient sector here overall until prices go up to levels that create problems. Now, there's an old adage in commodity markets that the cure for high prices is high prices, and that's certainly true if we see a significant spike. I'm not predicting that we will. I regard it as a possibility, but to date, crude oil has ranged higher, and that's infinitely preferable to a spike, which has a shock impact and can weigh on markets quite heavily. But certainly, rising commodity prices are more bearish for long-dated government bonds because of the inflationary implications than they are for equities. And equities can be a hedge against inflation and match the commodity performances for a while until the commodity price inflation becomes a very strong headwind. Now, don't be surprised, as I've said before, if we have choppy market action here between now and at least mid-year. I'm in terms of my own expectations. I have reined them in after two very, very good years. I think this is an interesting period. There'll be plenty of money-making opportunities, both in commodities and stock markets, and via short bonds for people who are able to move in and out of those markets in a timely fashion. And there may well be some more currency plays overall. So neither, I wouldn't describe this as either a sweet spot or a scary environment overall. I don't think I can explain it any more clearly than that. So, on that note, I will say all the best to all of you.